Church say amen. Didn't the song just say rejoice? We ought to be happy this morning. I know there's troubles in most of our lives, but still we ought to be happy. We ought to thank God that we're here to enjoy these troubles. Because one day there'll be troubles no more. So thank God that you are here. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer before we go any further. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, it is your blessing that have brought us here today. It is your service that has prompted us to be here today. But most of all, Father, it was your Son, Jesus, who died upon yonder's cross, who shed his own blood, that we may have a church to call home, which is the Church of Christ. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those in attendance this morning, and we're praying for the leadership here as well as the membership. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that all would be well with each and every member here this morning and each and every visitor as well. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you have lengthened out our lives to still be here. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us. Thank you for sending your Son to us. We pray this morning for those who are grieving, those who are sick and shut in, those who may still be on their way to the church house this morning. Let us pray continually for their safety. We pray for those who may be traveling this day, that if it be your will, that they would make it to and from their destination and be safe and secure. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that the church is in session this morning. Thank you that we live in a country where we're not hindered in our services to you. Thank you, O Heavenly Father. And now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on with this next portion of the services, we are praying for those brethren who have come before me, as well as those who shall come behind me at this point, as well, O Heavenly Father, as for all of those this morning who are standing in the need of prayer, we're praying this morning. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us, and it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we continue to ask all of these blessings. Let the church say, amen. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the second chapter of the book of Luke. And the verse is number 42 through verse number 49. Let us revisit those scriptures for a moment. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And after they heard, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Was ye not that I must be about my father's business? This morning, let us talk for a few moments from a subject, missing Jesus. Christian people are different than the rest of the population. We're different because we are a peculiar people. We are zealous of good works, according to Titus 2 and verse number 14. And no, we're not peculiar as the world sees us. We're not peculiar as the world defines peculiar, but instead different by God's standards. When we know God, we should have a different level of understanding of God. And most importantly, we are supposed to live by His rules and obey His will. Today's text presents for us some insights into staying close to the Master. They also teach us how to be watchful that we not allow Him to be missing from our lives. As Christians, there are several possibilities we need to be on guard for. When you think about things that Christians need to look out for, some things are very common, and we know what some of those things are, but there's also the possibility of leaving Jesus behind. As Christians, we find ourselves in deep trouble when we allow Jesus to be out of our mind's eye. Just as the parents of Jesus had assumed Jesus to be in the company of their entourage. Look at verse number 44 there, if you will, for a moment. But they supposing him to have been in the company went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. Sometimes we as Christians assume Jesus is with us when in fact we have left him behind. We need to understand that there are three classes or three groups of people, and we fall into one of these groups, only one of these groups at a time. Group number one, that's the world who never had him to begin with. Then there's group number two, are those perhaps who served God at some time or another, but have now dropped out of the race. And finally, there's the third group, those who lay claim to his goodness, to do his will, and trust in him. Certainly, we fall into group number one, two, or number three. We can't be in more than one group at a time, for the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24 that no man can serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other, or love one and hate the other, in other words. Or you might even despise one. But we can only serve one at a time. So God is a jealous God, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 15. He wants all of our attention. This is why we can lay claim to saying God is good all the time. One thing we must be cautious of, and that is taking God for granted. And how many of us take God for granted? These parents had taken for granted that Jesus was with them when he was not with them. He was missing, if you will, from the group that they supposed him to be in. Here in the text, we find these parents as they take for granted. They assume something. They were assuming too much, as a matter of fact. They should have noticed what it says in verse number 44 and verse number 45. I read 44 for you, so I'm going to start with 45. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Now you know, it's funny sometimes. We assume too much in our lives, some of us. We assume things that ought to be like they should. We assume that things should be like we think they ought to be. But it's not always that way in our lives. Sometimes we assume that I'm going to get this right because I ought to get it right because I've had it wrong too long. But that doesn't mean you're going to get it right. That doesn't mean that you're going to get it right. You see, Jesus' parents were thinking like humans, and Jesus was thinking divinely and doing his Father's business. It wasn't because he didn't want to go home with his parents, but more than that, the will of his Father needed to be taught. What kind of Christian would we be if we don't open the church doors on Sunday morning? What kind of Christian would we be if we don't show up at church on Sunday morning? What kind of Christians would we be if we just let the world overtake us and not say anything about Jesus Christ to anybody? Well, I know there are some that are like that. There are some that they won't say anything about Jesus for fear of thinking my friends are going to laugh at me. Well, I'd rather be laughed at alive than be dead and crying because I wind up in hell. I'll tell you the truth about it. We cannot always count on our relatives to have Jesus with them either. As Christians, we must remember that each and every one of us, we must seek him for ourselves, according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12. We must work out our own soul salvation. I can't do that depending on your works for me. I must have Jesus in my own works. And many of us are like Job was in Job chapter 23 and verse number 8. He said, I go forward and he is not there. I go backwards, but I cannot perceive him. And then verse number 9 says, on the left hand where he works, I cannot see him. He hideth himself on the right hand. I cannot see him. But oh, church, I want you to watch and notice that you can find Jesus if you got him in your life. Many may be hard-pressed to find Jesus in their life. And there are some of us who we just can't seem to get it down the way we want it to be down, as we say. We can't seem to get it just the way I want it to be. We can't seem to get it just the way I think it ought to be. Well, when we think differently than the Master thinks. When we think things are just for this life in which we are living. But Jesus is thinking of the future for us. Where will you be in the future when you die and you leave this world? Where are you going? That's what we have to think of. There's also another dangerous possibility. The possibility of not realizing that Jesus is missing. Once Christians come to the realization that they are no longer walking with Jesus, a change must take place. In order to determine this, we must examine ourselves. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, the Bible tells us to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove yourselves. Know ye not that your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Notice our text in verse number 45 again. It says, when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem. When you have examined yourself, when you have found Jesus missing in your life, it's time to turn back, time to get back to Jesus. When we are missing Jesus, not only does that put us in a dangerous position for ourselves, but it means that our family, friends, and neighbors don't see Jesus in us either. Remember in Matthew chapter 5 and the verses number 16, you know what the Bible says there. It says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. A light minus Jesus is not a shining light. A Christian who is missing Christ is like a diamond without its sparkle, which usually means it's not real. It usually means a diamond without a sparkle means it's a fake. It means that may mean that we're not real Christians if we don't have Jesus in our lives. We try to fool God, but we can't fool God. That's a dangerous game that many of us like to play. We like to play like we got God with us, when in fact we're so far away from God that it isn't funny. In Job chapter 23 again, in verse number 10, you know why I just mentioned to you in verses 8 and 9, but in verse number 10, Job says, he knoweth the way I take. And I want you to notice this part, church. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Gold is pure and precious, and that's what we need to be toward our Heavenly Father. Our faith is on trial, church. According to James chapter 1 and the verses number 3, the Bible says the trying of our faith worketh patience. Oh, and some of us need patience so bad it's not funny. Some of us fly off the handle over little things. Some of us continue to fly off the handle over things that would mean nothing to somebody else. And as a Christian, when we fly off the handle, we go in the other direction. When we fly off the handle, we say things that we usually are sorry that we say. Well, some of us are probably not sorry. But we usually say things that we are sorry that we have said. But we've got to be mindful, church. We've got to be very mindful that when Christ is missing in your life is not the same. You know, when we first became Christians, we had that glow about us. We wanted to change everything. We wanted to be so different. But then somewhere down the line, as our walk moved on in its walking stages, sometimes we fall. And then there are those Christians who say, oh no, not me, I never fall. I never do anything wrong. Well, you just lied. But sometimes when we're missing Jesus in our lives, we don't know what kind of way we act sometimes because we're not cognizant of the way we act sometimes. We're not cognizant of the way of the things that we say and the things that we do. But you know, when you're not missing Jesus, you got a whole different attitude. And then there's another dangerous possibility. After we realize that Jesus is missing, we must not only turn around and search to try to figure out where we left him, because certainly he did not leave us. But we must remember that God will never leave us. Sometimes we start looking in all of the wrong places. You already know what the text says. Look what verse number 44 says. Verse number 44 says, "But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances." But we already know that sometimes we can't find Jesus at our relative's house. Isn't that right, church? We can't find him at Uncle Bud's house because all Uncle Bud is doing is partying all the time. Then we try Aunt Annie's house, and certainly you can't find him there because Aunt Annie is too busy acting 25 when she's 55. She's trying to get her groove on. So where can I find him if I can't find him with my relatives? If he's missing from my life and missing from my relatives' life, where can I find Jesus? Well, just maybe you ought to try God's house. Oh, yeah, you ought to try God's house. In verse number 46, look at the text. "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." He was already in the midst of the temple serving God by doing God's will. So you ought to start in God's house. When you can't find him in your house or your relative's house, try God's house. So sometimes when they found him after 3 days, that tells me one thing, that they didn't give up. Because you can't find him on the first day, you keep on looking for him. Don't give up because he wasn't with your family members. Try my Father's house, for he told us that's where he was going in John chapter 14. He told us he was going to his Father's house. You'll find him, but just watch what the text says in verse number 48. "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold thy father, and I have sought thee, sorrowing." When you lose Jesus, when you're missing Jesus in your life, there's going to be some sorrows in your life. When you're missing Jesus in your life, things are going to happen. Things that you never thought possible may happen, may just happen. They were amazed, the text says. They were amazed, but that's only a part of it. You see, they were probably a little bit mad. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but when they say they were amazed, they were probably also a little bit on the upset side. Here he is, he's 12 years old, and we're thinking that you're with us when you're not with us. Well, Jesus is now older than 12, and he's not with many of us still today. But isn't that just like my Lord and Savior to be busy doing his Father's business? When you are an insurance person, you expect them to be doing insurance business. When one is a doctor, you expect him to be doing medical business. When one is a policeman, you expect him to be doing police business. When one is a Christian, you expect him to be doing Christian business. But when one is God, you expect him to be doing what? God's business. Isn't that right, church? So I ask the question of you this morning. What are you doing? Are you doing God's business? Are you doing Christian business? Are you doing worldly business? Oh yeah, you have to examine yourself. That's what the Bible tells us to do. And so when you look in your life and you notice that Jesus is missing, and I'm not going to be long. I'm almost done, as a matter of fact, right now. I'm not going to be but a few minutes here. Where the danger lies, where the danger lies when you find that Jesus is missing from your life, the danger lies if you don't try to find what happened to him. And there are those who say, well, I know what some say. They say, he'll find me. Well, didn't you go seeking after Him in the first place? He was always where He always is, and that's with His Heavenly Father. But you went looking for Him, so when He comes missing in your life, you have to look for Him all over again. He didn't leave you. You left Him. His parents did. He didn't leave His parents. His parents left Him. Look at verse number 48 or 49. And He said unto them, how is it that you sought Me? Didn't you know that I must be about My Father's business? Jesus is always busy doing His Father's business. I wish I could say that for all Christians. But they're just not always doing their Father's business. Sometimes even the preacher gets himself into a corner and has to work his way out. Sometimes the elders get themselves into a corner and have to work themselves out. Sometimes the deacons get into a corner and have to work themselves out. And therefore, sometimes the members get in a corner and have to work themselves out of that corner. But I'll tell you something. If you are missing Jesus, you're going to have a hard time working yourself out of that corner. So where the danger lies is the possibility becomes a reality. One could wind up dying without Jesus. And if one dies without Jesus, they die without anyone to go in the grave with them. Oh yes, people are going to go to the cemetery with you. They're going to be there when they lower the casket down into the grave. But Jesus is the only one who can get in the grave with you. But see, when they lower your casket down in the grave, most of us that are around the grave are not going to volunteer to go down in the grave. But someday, some way, all of us are going to have to visit the cemetery one day, because we're all going to leave this place. But you see, when Jesus can go down into the grave with us, that makes a big difference. You see, because that means that I have hope in the grave with me. That means that I have trust and faith in the grave with me. That means that I have the Master who can go in the grave with me. So how do you know if Jesus is missing in your life? Well, if your walk is not the way it used to be, if your talk is not the way it used to be before you met Jesus, do you remember when... Well, some of you may not. But do you remember when you first became a Christian? I'm asking some of you to go back a long way. I understand that. But do you remember when you first became a Christian? How joyful and gleeful you were. How everything was going to change in your life. You weren't going to ever do anything wrong again. You were never going to allow yourself to be caught up in what you once were caught up in. I did. I thought that. And then later on in life, you find yourself backtracking sometimes. You become what's known as a backslider. You become what's known as one who turned their back on God. And when God is missing in your life, you can tell. Because once again, your walk won't be the same. If you find yourself not talking like you were when you first became a Christian, God is missing in your life. If you are visiting those same old places that you used to visit before you first became a Christian, Jesus is missing in your life. And if you're dealing with the same folk that you used to deal with, I'd rather deal with my old friends than to deal with my church people because I don't know them. That's what some say. But if you're dealing with your old friends, they are the ones that caused you in some cases to be where you used to be before you met Jesus. Because you try to follow them. How many times have you found yourself saying to your old friends, I would go with you all, but I became a new person. If you can't say that, you're missing Jesus in your life. If you say, I'll go along with you because that's where we used to hang out at, you've got a problem. The old saying, go Houston, there's a problem. But I'll tell you something, church. When you meet Jesus, oh, your life will never be the same again. Oh, you can turn it back around and go back in the same old direction that you just came from. But if you truly follow Jesus and allow Him to be in your life, you won't go backwards. Now, does that mean I won't trip, stumble, and fall? No, it does not. But does that mean that means that I have an ally that when I do trip, stumble, and fall, I won't wait for the next person to kick me. I can get myself up. And if I can get myself up, I can get back to Jesus. If I can get myself up, I can get myself back on the right track. And you know they say when a runner runs off the track, the race is over for him, isn't it? When we run off the track of following Jesus, it might be over for us before we know it. So we must remember to let our light so shine that others may see that how we glorify our Father. Now some may say, well, my light is shining. It may be shining, but is it a 7-watt bulb or a 100-watt bulb? It's supposed to shine bright that other men can see. And some of our lights are so dim. Sometimes the dimness of our light won't shine across the street or across this aisle here. But if you're missing Jesus in your life, you need to follow what the text was teaching us today. That Jesus can be found. All you got to do is go back and look for Him. They went back to Jerusalem to find Jesus because He was missing. So this morning, what are you going to do? Do you know how to go back and find Him? If you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, then confessing, and then being baptized. What a lovely day to be baptized today. You can cool off. But also you find Jesus in the water. If you've already been there and you've been in the water, but somewhere your life has went a little bit astray. And you know a little bit astray is just as bad as going a lot astray. We like to classify lies sometimes. It was a little lie. But a lie is a lie. Doesn't make any difference how you classify. So if you're missing Him just a little bit, you need to ask Him to forgive you. Come forward, ask the church to pray for you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Our hymn is 337. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God?